The following program is brought to you in living color.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let the attack begin.
What are you doing here?
Testing for radioactivity.
Radioactivity? What is this radioactivity?
Warning. The program you're about to hear does not necessarily share the opinions and viewpoints of this radio station. Some of the material and interviews have been altered for entertainment purposes only. If you have any complaints about the Dorfon Sports Radio program, please contact our customer care service center at 1-800.
Yo, mama!
And now, the most eye-popping, jaw-dropping, smash-mouth, bone-crunching, heart-stopping, cutting-edge, interactive sports commentary show on the radio, Dorf on Sports. Now, here's your host, Andy Dorf.
Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to Dorf on Sports, right here on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. The NBA Finals has come and gone. Kind of too bad, but it was an awesome series. The NBA Draft has come and gone. How'd your team do? It's going to take a couple years to really figure it out, but prospects, that's what it's really all about when you're talking NBA draft. And then obviously, you know, the first five, six, maybe eight are guys that can maybe come into the league and do some work right away. But interesting to see how that thing kind of unfolded. Lots of trades, lots of things kind of still in the balance. Major League Baseball, we know how that's gone. The Copa America deal, that soccer thing is happening. A lot going on in the sports world, to be honest with you, Jeff. How you doing, man?
I'm doing very well. I'm celebrating a championship. The hangover still hasn't gone away. The Cleveland Indians are winning. Life is good. And, Major League Baseball, it's kind of hitting that point where we're seeing some truth. We're seeing some struggle from the Chicago Cubs. So a long way to go there, but some things are being told to us right now.
Yeah, we'll get into the Cavs and kind of the aftermath of that a little bit here on the other side. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, a lot going on in the sports world. It is Dorf on Sports, and you're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. We'll be right back, everybody.
You only get one chance to make a first impression. What does your home's appearance say about you? I'm Danny Lipford with tips for today's homeowner. Stay tuned and I'll share some simple and budget-friendly ways to improve your curb appeal right after this.
Beautify your outdoor living spaces with Pavestone's elegant collection of pavers, retaining walls, patio stones, and edging. Pavestone's easy do-it-yourself products have a unique way of transforming landscapes into beautiful dreamscapes. Discover how you can enhance your outdoor living spaces with attractive and durable interlocking patio stones, driveway pavers, steps, retaining walls, pathway edging, fire pits, and planters by visiting pavestone.com.
If your home is looking a little worse for the wear or perhaps seems to be stuck in a decade of days gone by, here are a few simple, inexpensive improvements that all revolve around color. A new coat of paint is the number one difference you can make, and if you do the painting yourself, you'll save a ton of money. And if time is an issue, simply focus on painting just one side at a time. Another area to draw focus is on accents, such as a bold color door or complementary colored shutters. A splash of color in the yard adds a lot of appeal, so look at a few plants and flowers to create an interesting look. And finally, don't forget about something as simple as adding color and decorative foliage around your mailbox. Color is the key without spending a lot of green. I'm Danny Lipford with Tips for Today's Homeowner.
Hey, what's up? We love Burger King grilled dogs. They're made with 100% beef, and they're 100%. Mm. They're so good, they make us want to sing like...
I can't believe it. Burger King made a grilled dog. Made with 100% beef. Flame grilled anytime you want. You can try it in classic or chili cheese.
Flame grilled and made with 100% beef. Starting at just $1.99. Get a grilled dog now at participating Burger King restaurants. Flame grilling hot dogs since 2016. Price of participation vary.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
Rebound taken by Iguodala. Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. Irving and Curry, one on one. Irving puts it up. It's good. Kyrie Irving from downtown.
All righty, everybody, welcome back. Some of the sounds from the NBA Finals, and I'll tell you what, that block on Andre Iguodala may be one of the best plays I've ever seen in my life, to be honest with you, Jeff.
I thought we got a really good Game 7, and not just because I enjoyed the result, it's because there's usually an epic Game 6 that sets up a Game 7, and in the NBA Finals in 2016, you had it come down to basically being a 36-minute game, a 24-minute game, a 2-minute and 50-second game, and then a 10-second game at the end. You know, Cavaliers win by two possessions, but they had to earn it. They had to really work for it. And that block by LeBron James, running 19 miles an hour, according to Sports Science, from midcourt, to prevent the Warriors from taking the lead. And as a matter of fact, the Warriors didn't score a
Just amazing. Seriously.
Again, after that block, it's at the other end. It sets up the offense at the other end for Kyrie Irving to not have the pressure on him to tie the game, and he hits the three instead of the two, and that set it up to put the game out of reach. You know, LeBron hits a free throw to make it four, and then there's really nothing Golden State can do with 6 seconds left but score 3 points and hope the Cavaliers can't inbound the ball.
In a weird way, man, how cool would it have been if LeBron James would have broken his wrist going up for that dunk and maybe making that dunk and then having it be a three-point play? I'm not suggesting that I wish that would have happened, but that would have just kind of shown you where this guy's heart and his mind were. He was not going to lose that game no matter what.
And Draymond Green wasn't going to let him put the exclamation point on the victory either. I mean, it was a hard foul, but it was a clean foul. LeBron hits the deck. It's a pretty scary moment. I mean, a lot of people in Cleveland are sitting there thinking, all right, three-point lead. LeBron should be able to at least granny shot one of these free throws, but his career might be over. So what do we think of that? And then it turned out to be much ado about nothing. So just an incredible finish to an incredible game and an incredible series.
Incredible comeback victory from 1-3 down. And it's amazing when you think about it. It's the same exact thing that Golden State had to do to get by Oklahoma City to get to the finals. Then
they had two home games. You know, the games 5 and 7 were at home. I think that what the Cavaliers did was a little bit different just because they had to go on the road where this team has lost two regular season games all season and they have to win two in a row.
My point was, is it's just irony. You know, it's ironic how they're the team that came back. I'm talking about Golden State from 1-3 down the previous series against Oklahoma City, and then Cleveland down 1-3, and bam, they do the same thing to the Golden State Warriors that they did to Oklahoma City. So I think it was just kind of like, bam, you know, you just did this to somebody else, and now we're going to do this to you. The unthinkable happened two times in a matter of like 2 weeks. It's pretty crazy when you think about coming back from a 1-3 down in an NBA Finals or an NBA series in general. You just don't win those very often. And they defied the laws here two times in a matter of 2 weeks. I just find it to be unbelievable. And anybody that thinks things are conspiracy or rigged, this is exactly the reason why I should show you that it's not rigged, to be honest with you.
A lot of truth comes out in seven games. And, you know, there's more than just coincidence to the Warriors playing seven, you know, being down 3-1 to come back. They had to play seven games.
Yeah.
Cleveland had a little bit of an easier trip through the East. You know, maybe not because the East is necessarily worse, or the teams that, you know, their level of competition wasn't worse. It was just that they were that much better. Golden State just wasn't that much better than Oklahoma City and Portland. And with their injuries and players out and whatnot, you know, even Houston turned out to be a little bit of a challenge for them. So I think that there was a stamina issue in the end. And yeah, I also think that there was a bulletin board issue. You know, those Golden State Warriors with their 73 wins and their championship trophy in their back pocket, I think that those loose lips would sink ships.
I think things were exposed, if you ask me, the real truth. Look, I said to you, you know, a couple series back, I don't know if it was you or somebody else, but I was talking to him about the Golden State Warriors and how they're kind of a one-trick pony. I hate to say it, but I still feel that way. They're a one-trick pony, man. They can beat you one way, and that's it. Cleveland can beat you in several ways. Oklahoma City can beat you in several ways. If these guys aren't hitting shots, man, end of story. They're going to lose the ball game. I hate to say it. And they were exposed, if you ask me, as well. They were exposed for a lot of their weaknesses. And Steph Curry in particular. Klay Thompson as well. I mean, those guys, you put bodies on them, you knock them around, they're nowhere near the same player. You give a guy a free look, an open look. These guys are NBA players, man. They're going to knock that stuff down. So truth be told, I really think that a lot of things happened in the series, the last couple series for Oklahoma, for Golden State, whether it was Oklahoma City or whether it was Cleveland. They exposed the weaknesses of the Golden State Warriors, and truth be told, the Golden State Warriors had no answer for when guys were able to expose their weaknesses. So I think Steve Kerr is a little bit stubborn, and I think personally the Golden State Warriors are a one-trick pony.
Do you think that their window is still open? I mean, are they the favorites to repeat again in the West, or does this, you know, does this loss really demoralize them? Despite the 73 wins, does this really put them in a place where that they don't go out there with swagger? They don't go out there with the belief that they can win every game that they play now?
I think they go out there with a lot of confidence, but I also think that the book is out. And you know what? If you want to beat the Golden State Warriors, you get physical with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and you get underneath the skin a little bit of Draymond Green, because you never know what he might or might not do to your private parts. And I really think that Steve Kerr is just stubborn. I really hate to say it. I was saying it earlier, and then he kind of made me look wrong. But truth be told, he didn't make me look wrong. They were hitting shots. That's what made me look wrong. When they hit shots, they're as good as anybody or better than anybody. But when you try to shoot 20-foot jumpers or 23-foot jumpers for most of the game, I don't like your odds of winning, and especially in a seven-game series. You know what? Cleveland and Oklahoma City almost proved that 2 points are just as good, if not better, than going for that three-pointer all the time. And most of their offense revolves around the three-point shot. If you look at it, they don't get a lot of layups. They don't do a lot of work in the paint. Most of their shots are open, good looks at three-pointers.
And what happened to that second unit? What happened to the Barbosas and the Livingstons just destroying the Cavs from mid-range? Because the way that you defend in the NBA is you defend the rim and you defend the three-point line. And when Sean Livingston's hitting those shots from the elbows like he did in game one and then disappeared for the rest of the series, there's no way you could defend that. But if they stop taking those shots, they stop trying to get those shots, they're doing their opponent a favor.
The way they defend it is they play better at home, usually, first of all. We're talking about role players. Second of all, though, you know what? they like blew their wad that first game, because the truth is they played so exceptional. They outplayed Cleveland by so far that they really only had one way to go, and that was down. Let's be honest. And they did. They went down ever since that first game. They could not reestablish themselves in the manner that they did in that first game. And I'm talking about their bench. The loss of Bogut was huge. We all know that. The loss of Iguodala was hurt. Curry, I don't think Curry was 100%, but that's these are all excuses. We're searching. Cleveland took that thing, man. They won that series. They did a great job. On the other side, I think we're going to hook up with John Poulter, professor of sports. We're going to break down some baseball with him. So keep it close, and then you and I will get back into this NBA, because there's a lot to talk about, the draft and a lot of things that could happen with player movement. So keep it close. Jeff Rich, Dorfman, Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy price. Again, get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
Attention! If you're in the market for a power scooter to reclaim your freedom, we have great news. Hartway, one of the world's leading manufacturers, has new factory direct power scooters for as little as $39 a month. Now you can stay active and have the freedom that a power scooter can give you. For over 20 years, we've been building the best and most reliable power scooters in the marketplace. And now with our new direct-to-consumer division, we can offer you wholesale prices. Plus, with Hartway Care Service, you are always protected. You will not find a better power scooter for as little as $39 a month anywhere. And with free shipping, if you call today, you can have a new power scooter delivered to your door for free in days. Financing is easy with your credit card or PayPal credit. Call now. 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183. That's 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. 800-296-0906. That's 800-296-0906.
And a two, and a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Bobby Thompson, that's my transfer deck. I don't care if I ever get back. I will throw them for the whole city. They don't win the game. One, two, three, Cacciatio.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. I'm thinking that was Jim Carrey, probably not Harry Carrey, doing that call there on the seventh inning stretch, as we all know. Very popular, very baseball, if you will. But anyways, we're going to now talk a little baseball, if you didn't know. I'm going to bring in our professor of sports, John Poulter. John, good morning, man. How are you?
Morning, Andy. Good morning, Jeff. Doing very well, thanks. Hope the two of you are as well. And I don't know who that singer was, but I hope he hasn't quit his day job.
Yeah,
he wasn't quite as good as Nick Bray, but he wasn't that much worse.
Hey, I want to start this out, and I'm gonna give Jeff a little bit of props here to start out, because truth be told, his Cleveland Cavaliers, they got it done. They win the NBA Finals. They beat the Golden State Warriors in seven games, emphatically coming back from 1-3 down. But then there's this little baseball team, and they're not so little. They're called the Cleveland Indians. And all of a sudden, they're atop the Central in the American League by five games over Kansas City, six over Detroit. I mean, are we looking at double trouble for the city of Cleveland? Is it possible? Is this not beyond the stretch of our imagination that they could win not one, but two titles in the same year?
Yeah, I guess it's possible. excuse me. I guess actually it's possibly three, because the Lake Erie Monsters won the Calder Cup, which is the American Hockey League version of the Stanley Cup, second-tier championship, obviously, but still the city of Cleveland, so they've already had a double dose. And looking at the way that the Indians have played and the way that team is put together and the way the rest of the teams in that American League Central are playing and, definitely look as though they can be had, I don't see any reason why Cleveland can't win that division if they continue to play at the levels that they've played at. I mean, we've talked for a couple of years now about the good pitching rotation that Cleveland has. In Francisco Lindor, they've got an unbelievable shortstop who, in my mind, might be one of the two best shortstops in the league right now, with Correa down in Houston. So, yeah, I think Cleveland is certainly in a position to win that division. I don't think it's going to be easy, but it's very definitely doable.
I wonder, in all honesty, Jeff, like how crazy that would be for obviously a city that has struggled to win championships and whatnot. I mean, could it happen for you, bro? Seriously, on a serious note here, could you win two of the major league sports titles in the same year? That honestly, that's got to be just like the most off your mind thing, but on your mind thing at the same time, right or wrong?
Well, after 52 years with no titles, given what's transpired over the last week, 8 days or so, we believe in anything. I think that there was a lot of underachievement to this team early because this dominant pitching rotation was being wasted by a lack of offense, and they're still waiting to get Michael Brantley back. But you have to believe that this team's only going to get better when you add an all-star like Michael Brantley to left field and to the third slot in your batting order. I also happen to think that the American League's not very strong this year, so the Indians might just be good at the right time. And that's kind of, that's sometimes what it takes. After we went through the 80s, that run in the 80s where Michael Jordan just blocked the Cavaliers, those good Cavaliers teams, from even making it to the finals. So, I think a lot of it is luck. It's your environment, and the Indians are fortunate to have a decent team in a year where there aren't a lot of decent teams.
Yeah, John, speaking of this winning ways of the Cleveland Indians, they've obviously catapulted themselves to the top of that division, winning eight straight. We talked a lot about the Astros a couple weeks ago, and you said that they were kind of like finding their way and they were figuring things out. Don't look now, but they've won seven in a row. They're three games over 500. I know Texas has a big lead there, but any reason for concern for Texas? And obviously Houston finding their way a little bit here. Is it too little too late? Or I think there's plenty of time left, but what do you think?
I think there's enough time left. I think when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago and the Astros finally moved out of last place, I think one of the things I said was they have to get themselves above 500 by the end of June to have any kind of a chance. And here we are now. They're over 500, and I don't know whether you saw the highlights of their game yesterday, but Jose Altuve was one stumble away from a triple, which would have meant the cycle for him. He had the single, the double, and the home run when he came up for his last at-bat. He laced a ball deep into left center that rolled around in the fence, and he obviously had triple on his mind, and he kind of blew a tire just going into second base. His batting helmet came off, went over the back of his head, hit him in the heel, and he kind of stumbled and fell over, and he was laughing about it, and so was the entire Houston dugout. But this team certainly is a lot better team than it showed in the first month of the season. I think we were all shocked about how badly they played during the month of April. And to your point, did they dig a big hole? Yes, I think they did dig a big hole, but if there's one team in that division that has a chance to catch Texas, my money would be on the Astros right now. You know, the Angels have certainly got the team on paper, but you look at them now, they're 13 games below 500 in last place and 17 games out, and you have to wonder what's going to be happening down there. I can't see that staying the course for a whole lot longer. I think something drastic has got to happen there. But, yeah, I think Houston proved last year that they're not a fluky team. They were projected by a lot of baseball analysts to be the best team in baseball by 2017. I think they shocked us all a little bit by coming through last year and getting to the postseason. And I think that gave us great expectations for this year. And certainly the last 30 days, they've come back. I think they're sitting on a good streak right now. They've won 7 in a row, 9-1 in their last 10, and you all know that's a barometer that I use quite frequently in terms of how a team is playing currently.
Hey, John, you know, when I think...
We may have lost Jeff there, I'm
not
sure.
Yeah, sorry, I lost Jeff. But, all I heard was the start of his question.
Jeff, go ahead, man.
Yeah, you know what? I watched the Cubs struggle a little bit, you know, and I think that it's justified a little bit. The St. Louis Cardinals are a good team. Going down to those southern stadiums, which I refer to as garbage stadiums, including the one in my backyard here in Phoenix, just because they're domes, they're very ugly to look at. I think it's tough to go into those hot atmospheres, even though you get to play inside. And you can lose to the Florida Marlins, and you don't have to think that the sky is falling, especially when you consider that St. Louis goes up to Seattle and kind of get, you know, they're kind of brought back to earth after sweeping the Cubs.
Yeah, Cardinals are 3-7 in their last 10, and that's a funny team. I just don't understand why they're struggling the way that they are. But reference to the Cubs, don't look now, but the San Francisco Giants are closing in on the Cubs really quickly in terms of the best record in the National League. Cubs are 48-25, Giants 48-28, and in the months of May and June, San Francisco 36-15, the Cubs 31-20. So we've been talking all season about how good the Cubs are and how strong they are and how they're dominating the National League. But in that period of time, the Giants are 5 games better. And you know, at the start of the season, I think we chatted about Houston and San Francisco as being potential World Series opponents. And here we are. That's two teams that are a big part of our conversation this morning.
Yeah, it's amazing how you're starting to see the cream of the crop rise to the top. Obviously, San Francisco separating themselves from the Dodgers and everybody else in that division. Cubs have already separated themselves. All they can do is fall back to the pack, let's be honest. Really still very surprised that the Marlins are in this thing in the National League East, John.
Yeah, I'm having trouble figuring that out, too. 5 games over 500, sitting in third place. Three games back of the Nationals and the Mets, but in the last week or so, the Mets and the Marlins have not taken advantage of catching up with the Nationals. The Nationals have lost 7 in a row. They're 3-7 in their last 10, but we really haven't seen the Mets and the Marlins make an awful lot of progress on closing that gap. So, you know, was this the opportunity for the Marlins and the Mets to catch the Nationals? Perhaps it was. I don't see the Nationals playing 300 ball for the rest of the season. So hopefully they haven't missed their chance. Talking about the Mets, I saw that yesterday they were on the free agent market, so to speak, re-signing Jose Reyes, who was released by the Colorado Rockies earlier this month, and they've signed him to a minor league contract, and apparently he's going to go to one of their minor league teams, I believe it's in Brooklyn, and learn to play third base. And I guess that's insurance against David Wright, perhaps not lasting the season.
Yeah, we'll see what happens, man. It's as we all know, this is a marathon, not a sprint, and it is shaping up though to where we are starting to see some separation, and you're seeing the, like I said, the cream of the crop are rising to the top, and other guys are kind of faltering. But as always, John, really appreciate you taking time out with us. Have a great day, and look forward to catching up with you next week.
Yeah, my pleasure as always, guys. Take care, have a good week, and we'll chat next week.
Great stuff from John Poulter, a professor of sports, breaking down Major League Baseball, and I can't believe that your Cleveland Indians are actually kicking some butt, and we may have two championships in the city of Cleveland. I think that's amazing. Really, I do, Jeff.
It really would be amazing, but we're not counting any chickens just yet.
Yeah, not yet anyways. Anyways, keep it close. Jeff Rich, Dorfman on the other side. We're going to get back into some basketball and break down some of that NBA stuff that's been going on. So keep it close. It's Dorf on Sports, and this is the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.
Geico presents the Shazam 15, featuring the top 15 Shazam songs in the U.S. for this week. Get out your Shazam app now and check it out. Plus, have fun and interact with Geico. Gecko yourself and share it with friends. Watch your favorite Geico video. Get a quote. Shazam now for the full list and experience more with Geico. The Shazam 15, brought to you by Geico. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, three pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and two online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for prescription drugs? Well, we have great news. Now you can finally get prescription drugs at huge discounts from Canada Drug Center. That's right, the most popular drugs for cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, arthritis, and many more are now up to 75% off. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices when you can get brand name drugs at the lowest price? Call today and get up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs. Never pay high prices again. Get the most popular drugs at huge savings from our Canadian and international pharmacies and fulfillment centers. No insurance? No problem. Prices are so low you do not need benefits or insurance to get all your prescriptions fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting to take your call now. Order today and get free shipping. Just call 800-950-1180. Up to 75% off all the popular brand name prescription drugs and free shipping. Call 800-950-1180. That's 800-950-1180.
My joints used to kill me. I'd wake up with stiff knees and a stiff back, and it wouldn't get much better throughout the day. I went to doctors and took almost every supplement you can think of, and nothing seemed to help. Then I found something called Oil Can Joint Lubricant. They use only top-of-the-line, all-natural ingredients, and I know many companies make similar claims, but here's the big difference. Oil Can ingredients are scientifically formulated to work together faster than anything else in the marketplace. That's guaranteed. I take Oil Can every day. My knee pain was gone just a few days. So if you have knee pain, back pain, and you tried everything, try Oil Can Joint Lubricant risk-free right now. I'm confident you'll have fewer aches and pains within days, or we will gladly refund your money. Call right now. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795. 800-989-1795.
With the first pick in the 2016 NBA Draft, the Philadelphia 76ers select Ben Simmons from Melbourne, Australia and Louisiana State University.
All righty, everybody. Welcome back. It is Dorf on Sports. You're hanging out on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Jeff Rich with me, as he is each and every week. And then obviously we just got done with John Poulter, our professor of sports. So if you missed it, good stuff as always. We are live, just so you know, every Sunday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Pacific time, and we do rebroadcast on Monday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So if you miss us, you can check us out. But we are live every Sunday, and we do want thoughts. We do want opinions. Get at us, by the way. Reach us at our Twitter handles at ByJeffRich, at Dorfon Sports. Be sure to check us out here at Sports Byline USA. And then, obviously, you can give us a phone call. We can beam you up just like Scotty, 1-800-878-7529, and we can be talking to you about whatever is on your mind. We'd like it to be the world of sports, but we can go anywhere. And then, speaking of Ben Simmons, who was just the first number one selected draft pick, obviously, our hearts and prayers are out with him and his family. I believe his cousin was shot in New Jersey, and obviously, our hearts and prayers just are out to him, right, Jeff?
Oh, absolutely, man. Loss of human life. It's something we tend to avoid a little bit on this show, but, man, it's never a good thing. You know, when it ties into the world of sports, I think that we have an obligation to bring it up and speak to the ridiculousness of how human beings in today's society in this country have decided that it's okay to end another person's life. Nobody ever gave anybody that right.
Yeah, it's pretty insane what's going on. But speaking of insane, Ben Simmons, number one draft pick, obviously the freshman out of LSU. They didn't even make the tournament. He goes to Philadelphia. Brandon Ingram, the second pick, goes to the LA Lakers. Third pick, Jaylen Brown. I think that was kind of a little bit of a shocker to a certain degree, but all these guys that went in the top eight were guys that we thought were going to go in the top eight, but not necessarily the order of the top eight. Number one, yes. Number two, yes. And then it kind of got a little interesting. The Suns pick, Dragan Bender. Chris Dunn goes to the T-Wolves. I think that's a great fit, to be honest with you, man. Out of the first five guys that were picked, I really liked that pick, that selection, the most for the Minnesota Timberwolves. As far as a guy being able to go in and have a very quick impact, when you have Wiggins, when you have Towns, who am I thinking of? Their other big forward.
Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah, Carl Anthony Towns, you got it. Rookie of the year. And then you throw in Chris Dunn in that mix. I really like that nucleus moving forward. I really do.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think that Boston had I think the first two picks were obvious. I think Boston rolled the dice a little bit, but, you know, they need a slashing guy on the offensive side to complement those guards that they have and those tweener bigs that they have. I think that they need a slashing wing like Jaylen Brown, and I think that he's a real boomer bust prospect. So I think Boston wanted to get a lot more out of this draft. I think that they thought they had some value with the top three pick that they just didn't have. Suns surprised me a little bit going with the, you know, going with the kid Bender. That's going to take a few years to develop, but really like what they did going to get Marquise Chris. That's another guy that's boomer bust. I mean, he could have been a top three pick, you know, or he could have fallen all the way out of the lottery. So him being taken by the Kings at eight and moved to the Suns, not a huge surprise. I think that's for as dysfunctional as the Phoenix Suns have been lately, I think that's a good move. At the end of the lottery, you had Denzel Valentine. I think that you got to keep an eye on those Michigan State guys, especially after seeing second rounder Draymond Green develop into such a player. So a fun draft all around. You know, I'm a little upset that Sabonis went to the Magic. I don't like to see him play in a bigger market, but or a home market like Phoenix. But overall, a draft that I didn't know a whole lot about, but, you know, I learned as I went.
Well, there is a proposed trade. I'm not sure if that went through, but Sabonis would be going to Oklahoma City. Serge Ibaka would be out of there. And then they got a few other guys in the piece in that trade as well. I actually liked what Oklahoma City did, to be honest with you.
I think if you play in the Western Conference right now, the mandate dictates that you have two solid defenders in your backcourt. And if you got Oladipo and Russ back there, look out those twosomes in Golden State and Portland, because you're going to have a hard time getting the ball to fall through the rim.
Well, Steven Adams in the middle, and then also you put Sabonis in the middle there.
Subtracting Ibaka, though, I mean, he's been part of the ride the whole time.
I know, but there's just something that's missing with him.
Do you think this trade affects Durant's should I stay or should I go status?
Well, I mean, look, if you're Kevin Durant, I hate to say this, but I would go. I would personally go to Golden State. Look, that is a that's like a dream team. You know, you wonder how many more balls they have to throw around to guys. But the truth is there's plenty of balls to be thrown around to guys, if you ask me, especially with a guy like Kevin Durant. How could you want to turn that down? If I'm anybody, I'm trying to figure out a way to get Kevin Durant. But with that being said, I do think they made these moves thinking about Kevin Durant and the future that he may or may not have in Oklahoma City. Is it enticing for him to want to come back with this? I actually think it is. You know, you get a little bit better with Oladipo back in that backcourt. Sabonis, maybe give him a couple of years, but I don't think they missed that much with letting Serge Ibaka go, I guess is what I'm really trying to say. I think he was so inconsistent that they're kind of thinking we have to go a different direction somehow, some way, and this maybe makes the most sense. We do not want to split up Russell and KD if we do not have to. That is just such a dynamic duo. So you have to go out and you have to figure out another way to make things possible. And I think that this is the best solution is to deal Ibaka and make some room and get some other pieces in that puzzle. I think this is the best situation personally. But if I'm Kevin Durant, at a certain point, I want to win titles. And you were close. But that doesn't necessarily mean you can get over the hump in Oklahoma City. Golden State, they have a championship team. With adding Kevin Durant, that makes you more of a championship team.
Oklahoma City was literally a play away from playing the Cavaliers in the finals. I mean, you know, it happened with LeBron in 2010 where, you know, you could say that they were a couple bad games against Boston from going up against Kobe and the Lakers and winning it all. But, you know, if ifs and buts were candy and nuts, we all know how that goes. I just look at Golden State and what does Golden State need to do to stay cap friendly? What kind of personnel moves do they need to make to bring in Kevin Durant? And obviously whatever they get rid of is not going to be as good as Kevin Durant or they wouldn't do it. But, you know, if I'm Durant, I'm looking at how close I am with everything that I've built over the last 9 years in Oklahoma City, you know, and Seattle, obviously, but and I'm taking that into account. I'm not saying that he's, you know, a slam dunk to go back. I just think that it would be a good idea if he did return to Oklahoma City.
I think that's a good thought, though, that you're bringing up here. The question becomes, do you want to put yourself in which category? I'm talking about Kevin Durant, that is. Do you put yourself in the category where, you know, people are talking negatively about you going somewhere else like LeBron James? Let's be honest. People are discrediting those couple of championships that he had in Miami, which I think is ridiculous. Let me go on the record and say that. I think it's ridiculous that people say, oh, they're less meaningful because he had to go somewhere to win those titles. Look, they weren't bringing the players to Cleveland. So if you ask me, he had to leave Cleveland in order for Cleveland to understand that, you know what? You sometimes have to do things a little bit differently if you want to get to the pinnacle of your profession. So LeBron left to win a couple titles, knowing probably in the back of his mind that he wanted always to go back to Cleveland and to deliver something to that city that they have not had. And obviously he did that. So I personally do not discredit those first couple of rings that he had in Miami. And I look at the ring that he just got in Cleveland, and I really think that that solidifies his body of work, if you ask me.
Yeah, no argument here. No argument at all. I mean, you know, there was certainly, you know, Kyrie Irving was going to end up with the Cavaliers if LeBron James stayed the course and stayed in Cleveland. And that's the, you know, that's kind of the catalyst of the whole thing. So I agree with basically that entire take. You know, not happy about him going to Miami, but certainly understand why he did it and why it was almost necessary for him to go to Miami to turn Cleveland into a winner.
Yeah, and I think people just get lost in the shuffle. And don't understand also, he was a free agent at the time, and he had nothing, in all honesty, he had nothing that he owed Cleveland at that time. I think it became something within himself, knowing what his roots are, knowing where he's from, knowing what that city has done for him. That's when LeBron said, you know what? I've had my fun. I've been in South Beach. I won a couple of titles. It's time to go back home, and it's time to make this really special and really meaningful for those people in Cleveland who've waited so damn long for something that we have not been able to give them. I can give them this. And there's something to me, you know what? He grew up right before our eyes. And ultimately, man, he understood the importance of going back home and what it would mean to win a championship for the city of Cleveland. I think that's special, man. It's unique.
Of course it's special. It wasn't easy. It took him 2 years to do it. It took him 7 games. It might have taken the inspiration of the words that Golden State floated out there with the swagger of of their championship. But he really, you've been posting a lot on Facebook over the last couple of weeks about greatness. And I think that he exhibited it to the highest extent by taking the team on his shoulders, putting up a triple-double in game 7. Who does that?
No, I mean, look, and we don't have time. I want to give you my real thought behind that, because there is a method to my madness on that. And I don't necessarily know if I have enough time here in the last couple minutes of this segment, but I will share with you my reasons why I'm talking about LeBron's greatness in the way that I'm talking about his greatness. And that's because you don't see players like this very often. I think I've seen it one other time in my lifetime, and that's Michael Jordan. So I'm going to say something to you on the other side, and I think that that's the problem with a lot of this older generation, that they don't really accept greatness the way that it should be accepted. And I got a little feeling on that, so I'll get to it on the other side. But we're going to take a quick pause for the cause. He's Jeff Rich. I'm the Dorf Man. One final segment here on this hour of Dorf on Sports and the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Keep it close.
Rebuild or replace transmission, $3,200. Anti-lock brake system, $1,000. Rebuild or replace engine, $2,400. Truth is, once your manufacturer's warranty runs out, it's all on you. Every last cent. Get protection for covered repairs with a vehicle service contract from Toco Warranty. Unlike other companies, with Toco, there's no down payment, and the monthly payments are really affordable. Not sure how long you're keeping your car? At Toco, you can pay as you go. Keep your hard-earned cash and call Toco Warranty right now at 800-222-2313 to save big money on covered auto repairs. Prices vary by vehicle, but for about the cost of a tank of gas per month, a Toco plan has your back on expensive covered car repairs. Monthly payments are very affordable. Get your free quote now. Call Toco at 800-222-2313. That's 800-222-2313. 800-222-2313. Cancellation fee may apply. Subject to eligibility. Not available in Missouri and Washington. Waiting period and deductible apply. Coverage provided and administered by Warrantech Corporation or its affiliates. Not affiliated with any manufacturer or dealership. Visit TocoWarranty.com for complete terms and conditions.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices.
prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-663-7126 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Men is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-663-7126 to take your call now. Call 877-663-7126. That's 877-663-7126. Again, 877-663-7126.
Attention, if you're in the market for a power scooter to reclaim your freedom, we have great news. Hartway, one of the world's leading manufacturers, has new factory direct power scooters for as little as $39 a month. Now you can stay active and have the freedom that a power scooter can give you. For over 20 years, we've been building the best and most reliable power scooters in the marketplace. And now with our new direct-to-consumer division, we can offer you wholesale prices. Plus, with Hardway Care Service, you are always protected. You will not find a better power scooter for as little as $39 a month anywhere. And with free shipping, if you call today, you can have a new power scooter delivered to your door for free in days. Financing is easy with your credit card or PayPal credit. Call now. 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183. That's 1-800-427-0183. 1-800-427-0183.
Irvin fakes, drives. James on the throwdown. James to Thompson. Oh, what a pass from LeBron James. Puts up the three and nails it. LeBron James from downtown. Tristan Thompson with a double-double here in the first half. James, the crossover, the layup off the glass.
How about the way that the Cavs have responded?
Dante Jones, who's hardly played in the finals, only 14 minutes through the first five games.
His 11th of the game finds James.
J.R. Smith hits a three way downtown.
James on the attack, left-handed once again, lays it in.
Throws it ahead to Smith. Smith, alley-oop to James! Wow!
As James lines it up and hits a three.
Green down the other end. James right there, blocked by James! Barbosa can't hold on. Oh, what a defensive play from LeBron James.
Alrighty, everybody, welcome back. Final segment here on this hour of Dorf on Sports on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network. Lots of NBA highlights and great stuff from LeBron. And thinking about that, man, the parade, everything, J.R. Smith after the game. I heard LeBron, addressing the crowd and whatnot and using some profanity. I didn't have a problem with it at all. Some people did. But your reaction about J.R. Smith on the podium, how emotional he was, and then how LeBron was addressing the fans.
You know, Father's Day is special. So, you know, special more so for some than others. And, J.R. Smith is just a raw human being. You know, yeah. He likes to mess around on the Tinder and the Instagram, but he's also very genuine and very true. And I think that that's, his attitude is part of why this Cavaliers chemistry was so majestic going down the stretch. So as far as LeBron cursing, not necessary, but I think that if you appreciate it within the context, you can appreciate it for what it is. You know, LeBron, you know, President Obama, when he was talking to Ty Lue, told J.R. Smith to put his shirt on, but he didn't tell LeBron to watch his mouth. So I think that that says it all right there. And, you know, as far as these guys were around there with no shirts on, it's Cleveland. It's June. It's humid. I don't blame them at all.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with any of it. I'll be honest with you, man. People are just so quick to, like,
react. Just to have a reaction, yeah. Even if it's stupid.
There's no reason for it, man. These guys are human beings, like you said, just enjoying themselves. And we don't have to make a spectacle of everything that they do. So, you know what? Be yourselves. Be who you are. That's who people love in general as to what they are. Anyways, got to take a quick pause for the cause. Jeff Rich, Dorfman. It is Dorf on Sports. Hour number two on the horizon. Keep it close. It's the Sports Byline USA Radio Network.